Hello. Welcome to I Am Wisdom with your host, Katrina Cavanaugh. I Am Wisdom is all about the connection between mind work and energy work, spirituality, and finding easy, everyday ways to heal your life. Katrina Cavanaugh is a qualified therapist and one of Australia's leading intuitives and spirituality coaches. Katrina will be taking your calls and bringing you some special guests. Settle in, relax, and enjoy the healing on I Am Wisdom with Katrina Cavanaugh on Om Times Radio.
Hello, everyone. You're listening to I Am Wisdom, and this is Katrina Cavanaugh. It's a beautiful day here in Australia, and I'm happy to say that we've got to spring. Yay! It's springtime, so that's always fun. Today's show is a very special show. I've got for you two very special guests. They are two people who have been involved in an amazing series airing on Destination America on the Discovery Channel, and they are Johnny Clark, who is an investigative filmmaker, and Jesse Berkey, a paramedic. And so we're going to be talking soon about the show Project Afterlife, the series, and then also, look, there's just so many conversations about around the area of death and dying and the afterlife and what happens in the process when someone experiences a resurrection. So that is when they die and then they come back to life, okay? To give you a little bit of background about the Project Afterlife series, what I know from the information I've been given and just from the chat, I just had a pre-call, began a pre-call conversation with Johnny and Jesse just before the show, just to say hi and, you know, check in and all that kind of stuff. And, look, this is a topic that we could all talk about for a long time. So what I know is that Project Afterlife is all about people who say this is the afterlife. Challenge everything and about death. If death is about how and why some back from death and others are not. So in Destination series Project Afterlife, it's all about a team of investigators motivated by their own experiences with pulling victims back from the grave, including a paramedic, an ordained minister, a retired state trooper, and an investigative filmmaker. So in the show Project Afterlife, or the series, they are launching an unprecedented quest to unlock the mysteries of resurrection with help from real people who say they've gone through it. I mean, what a phenomenal series. Now, before I begin the show today, I want to say two things. First of all, as always, I like to do a little bit of a check-in. So how has your week been? Now, of course, I can't hear you speaking back to me, but I'm always really curious to know how your week's been. My week's been I've been quite busy, as per usual, and it's been full of so many amazing things, both professionally and personally. I've had the great opportunity to sit with lots of clients as they have, you know, made their way through some really tricky areas of their life and really realized a lot about themselves. And as they work through the process of coaching or therapy with me, they're discovering new things about themselves and emerging in and, you know, discovering a new version of themselves. And it's just beautiful. It's wonderful work. And it's a privilege to do that work, you know, to work with people who've experienced trauma and relationship issues and depression or anxiety or whatever it is. You know, it's real privilege. I'm also beginning to work on a new podcast series here in Australia. So I'll be telling you a little bit more about that here. And I've got a wonderful radio professional who's working with me on that. So that's very, very exciting. I've got a new article out on Balance by Deborah Hutton, where I'm a coach, as you know, all about how to spring clean your spirit. So it's a fun one, everyone, because, well, maybe not for the Northern Hemisphere. Maybe you might need to hold that over to a couple of more seasons' time because you're running fall. But certainly for anyone listening who's in the Southern Hemisphere and, you know, we're experiencing spring, it brings a whole new feeling and it's great. So if you want to check that out, you go to balancebydeborahhutton.com.au and you'll be able to find all of my articles there, including how to spring clean your spirit. So that's a good, fun one. Right, today I need to share with you that, and anyone who listens to my show, you know that, you know, when I talk to you, I share the reality of whatever the day brings. And the reality for me today is that I have my gorgeous youngest daughter, Kate, who is age 6. home from school because she's sick. And so this is the world of real life, right, where, you know, if a child's unwell, then they need to be home with their mama and I need to be here to help her. So I've set her all up so that we can have our radio show today. She's got lots of yummy foods and she's got her medication to help with her earache and she's got her little tablet that she can play with just for a little bit. And, you know, she may pop in during the show and say, Mum, and I'll have to answer her, which will be a little bit interesting. But this is the nature of living a real life. And I could have cancelled the show today, but I didn't want to do that. We had too many amazing things happening on today's show. And I know that my Kate is going to be okay and she's got enough to look after her to keep her occupied over the next little hour or so. So just thought I'd better give you the heads up about that. So let's get going with talking about Project Afterlife. So at the moment in the US, you can catch the season finale of Project Afterlife this Sunday at 10, 9 Central on Destination America. And this series will be airing here in Australia and New Zealand late in 2016 on the Discovery Channel. So it's coming to us here in Australia. But as you know, I have a huge listening audience over there in the States and areas like Mexico and just some phenomenal, beautiful people that write to me regularly and let me know about, you know, their enjoyment of the show. So, you know, for you guys, you're just about at the end of it. So I'm sure if you wanted to catch the season finale, then please do. And you can obviously always – I'll talk to Johnny and Jesse in a moment about how people can also maybe get some of the previous episodes. So let me tell you a little bit about my guest. Johnny Clark is an investigative filmmaker. Johnny is the visionary storyteller behind the groundbreaking 2013 documentary Dead Raiser. And Dead Raiser examined the ability of humans to raise the dead. I'm going to say that again, everyone. Dead Raiser, the documentary, examined the ability of humans to raise the dead, not raise up from the dead, but to raise the dead. So someone else has died and these people were able to become part of the resurrection of that other person. So I'm really interested to talk to Johnny about what that's all about. So since that film's release, Johnny has continued investigating many, many more resurrection cases. And because these are more, obviously what happens is we start a dialogue, don't we? We begin a conversation and then more and more people emerge because they feel the acceptance, they feel the openness that's there and they begin to share their stories. I mean, I know that from my own experience when I was, you know, going along and then I did that TV show and wrote the book and the amount of people that have come out to me, you know, if I'm walking along the street or it might be family or friends. And because I'm a little bit out there now, people know that, you know, I am in awareness of the spiritual world and how it works from the physical to the non-physical, then I have so many people you would never think of or imagine coming up to me, doctors, lawyers, you know, obviously celebrities that I associate with, everyday people, mums, elderly people, farmers, every walk of life, certainly other health professionals, you know. Anyway, lots of people coming up to me and sharing with me their stories of their experiences with the non-physical world. So we know that it's a really common phenomenon, yet we haven't had, and that's what Johnny and Jesse and I were talking about before we came on the show, we haven't actually had the opportunity to speak openly about it as much as to reflect actually the amount of experiences that people are having out there. So amazing, amazing. So what Johnny did in Dead Raiser was he had an investigative team comprised of other people who share his passion for unlocking clues about how the supernatural phenomenon works. My second guest is Jesse Berkey. He's a paramedic. Jesse's job he's working as a paramedic. So obviously it's frequently putting him on the front lines of death. But for Jesse, everything changed one day in 2009 when he took part in a resurrection after praying for the patient to come back to life. So Jesse has since continued to mix prayer and medicine in his professional duties and wrote a book, Life Resurrected, Extraordinary Miracles Through Ordinary People, and I'm really looking forward to speaking to Jesse about that, his experiences and that book as well. Now, all of you who have listened to my show before, if you're a regular listener or perhaps you've followed my progression through the show or maybe read my book, you will know that I'm very interested in this topic because, just like Jesse, I spent lots of time in a hospital setting or a medical setting, and I was present for hundreds of deaths. And why I hold such an interest in how the physical and non-physical world works is, for over those 400 deaths that I was around for, you know, there were many occasions where I actually experienced an awareness of what was happening on the non-physical level. So a patient might come in and there might be, as we say here in Australia, DOA, which is a horrible phrase of saying dead on arrival. And I would be able to communicate with the soul of that person, as well as those that were sitting in the resus room and perhaps tinkering between life and death while the medical team worked on them. I was able to communicate with the soul of that person too. Not always, not every single time, but sometimes. So this has really given me a great interest in this topic, and I'm really looking forward to speaking to Jesse and Johnny when we come back from our break. We're coming up to a break soon. While we're waiting for that break to come, I just wanted to tell you a little bit more about Project Afterlife. So the actual documentary itself is all about a team of investigators motivated by their own experiences with pulling victims back from the grave, including a paramedic, we just spoke about Jesse, an ordained minister, a retired state trooper, and an investigative filmmaker. And they launched this unprecedented quest to unlock the mysteries of resurrection and help real people, with help from real people who say that they've gone through it. So stick with me, stay with me after this break, and we're going to begin our profound and interesting and reflective conversation with Johnny Clark and Jesse Berkey. Stay with me.
The Real Conscious Connection. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Circle of Hearts Radio is a sanctuary on the airwaves. Join me, Grandmother Elia, in the circle on Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern, as I share information to both enlighten and nourish your soul.
Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community. Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at OM Times Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, the advisors participating at advisors.omtimes.com were carefully chosen based on their gifts, skills, and professionalism. OM Times Advisors. Connecting you with the best advisors in the business.
Live with medium Lisa Phoenix, Mediumship Messages and Musings explores mediumship and all things metaphysical. Lisa Phoenix invites you to reach above and beyond your everyday experiences to explore new dimensions in the spirit world. She will do live readings to connect callers to their loved ones in spirit, shares engaging stories and teachings from her own personal experience, and will have intriguing conversations with other mediums, spiritual teachers, and healers to help you understand the metaphysical world so you can connect to these forces in your day-to-day life. Join your hosts on this magical and metaphysical journey into the world of spirit every Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Hi, it's Katrina Kavanagh here, all the way from Australia, and you're listening to I Am Wisdom. And today's show is all about a phenomenal new series that is airing on the Discovery Channel in the States. And then it will be airing on the Discovery Channel here in Australia in late 2016. And that series is
is called Project Afterlife, and we're now going to begin a conversation with Johnny Clark and Jesse Berkey. So, Johnny and Jesse, welcome to the show. How are you going?
Thank you so much. It's such an honor to be a part of the show. Very excited.
Hi, Katrina. Thank you so much.
Hi. So I wanted to begin with both of you, really. Perhaps maybe we might begin with you, Johnny, as the investigative filmmaker. And then, Jesse, if you could jump in as well and answer the same question. I'm really interested to know from the two of you. I mean, obviously, you don't wake up one day and say, oh, I'm going to make a documentary about, you know, the after death, dying and the afterlife and the process of resurrection. You know, there has to be something that's happened in your life leading up to that that really increased your awareness to the fact that there is an experience called an afterlife. There is a non-physical experience that happens. So how did we get here?
Sure. Well, in 2012, I set out to make a documentary film about these experiences that people have died and come back to life. And specifically, the cases I was hearing about were those that involved an individual that was alive who went to bring that person back. And many times that was through prayer. But as I found, sometimes all it takes is simply an act of compassion, and that can lead the way to something miraculous. So in that journey, I went to find like-minded people or people who had seen these kinds of things take place so I could talk to them and hear about their accounts. Mm-hmm. And I was able to do that, and the film came out in October of 2013. And it was called Dead Raiser. And actually, people can go watch it for free at deadraiser.com with the code Project Afterlife. I would encourage people to do that. And that's also how I met Jesse Berkey, who's in the film. This guy is amazing. If in the States, we have 911. And if you're ever in an emergency, that's what you call. And I always tell him, if I ever need to call 911, I want Jesse Berkey to come to the scene. That's just all there is to it.
Yeah. So, Jesse, you know, obviously, you know, you've got some frontline experiences with death and dying as well, but in a much more physical and medical sense. So what happened for you? How did you end up in Johnny's documentary, Dead Raiser?
Yeah, are you sure people don't just wake up one morning and decide that this is something that they want to do? I mean,
Of course they do. Yes.
Yeah, of course they do. Yeah, they want we all want the funny looks, right? Yeah, so yeah, I mean you said it. This was certainly not anything that I was going out and looking for. But it just so happened that late one night, I was at work and we got an emergency call for just an ill person, just somebody who wasn't feeling well, which we get a lot of. Mm-hmm. And so about a block away from the house, dispatch comes back over and they say, hey, guess what? This is now a cardiac arrest. And they didn't say it quite like that. But
yes, I'm sure they might have added a few expletives. Yes.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Oh, no, we now have a cardiac arrest. All right. So it's just me and my partner at this point. So we get on the radio and we request backup, and we're there long before they get there. So we walk to the back room, and there's a gentleman lying there on the floor. His feet are kind of up in the air. He's about middle-aged, and he's pale, and I feel him, and he's cold. I reach down for a pulse, and there's no pulse, and nobody had witnessed this. His family members were in the other room. They didn't know anything, and so this is how we found him. And my partner's scrambling. I'm the paramedic in charge, so my partner's scrambling to get the monitor on and to do all this. And I all of a sudden, and we hadn't done anything yet. It had just been a few seconds after we made patient contact. Mm-hmm. I hear this voice go through my heart and my mind. Mm-hmm. And I know it's not my voice because of what the voice said. Yes. It said, I want you to pray for this man and command life to come back into him. Mm-hmm. And I said, I don't think I'll be doing that. Thank you very much. And so my partner is continuing to try to put the heart monitor on. Nobody's done CPR yet. It's a mad scramble. We're trying to get oxygen ready. And so I hear the voice again. And this is not unlike in episode one, Dr. Crandall's experience, though his was almost, he describes it as an audible voice, an authoritative voice.
Yes.
Mine was more of a quiet, still voice that had the same level of authority, but I didn't hear it with my natural ear.
Mm.
And I decided at that moment, I said, I better pay attention to this. So I was, what have I got to lose? This guy's dead. You know, so, okay, let's try it. So I looked at him and I said, I command death to leave right now, and I just release life over you right now. Beautiful. And at that moment, my partner finished putting the heart monitor on him, and a perfect heartbeat fluttered across the monitor. And my eyes went wide, and I reached down to feel a pulse, and oh my goodness, there's a pulse for this guy. And I looked at my partner, and I said, he's got a pulse. And he said back to me, no, he doesn't. I said, yes, he does. He's got a pulse. I just felt it. Look at the monitor. And I said, don't touch him. No, nobody mess this up. Everybody take about two steps backwards. But he started to breathe on his own. And then he started to moan. And then he started to try to sit up. And I'm saying, no, sir, you got to sit down. He goes, oh, I'm good. I don't want to go to the hospital. I said, sir, you were just dead, okay? This isn't going to be a debate. You're going to the hospital.
Yep.
And so by the time we got him to the hospital, all of his vitals were stable. And I'm just kind of left to hold this experience. And what in the world just happened? And I wrote that experience down, and it later became the book that you mentioned, or one of the stories in the book that you mentioned, Life Resurrected, Extraordinary Miracles for Ordinary People. And my good friend, one of my best friends now, Johnny Clark, through just amazing circumstances, got a hold of that book. And he said, the person who gave it to him said, hey, you got to call this guy. He said, yeah, whatever. And then on a plane ride back from, I believe it was the Philippines, he read the first two chapters and he said, oh my goodness, I got to call this guy.
Yes.
And so he gave me a call and we shared some experiences. And I love his heart. This thing about Johnny, he's an incredible visionary, but he loves people. And that's something I can say for every member of this team. They just the deep love for people, that compassion that Johnny talks about. It's all inside of us. And so that's how I got connected to Dead Razor and Johnny and his amazing work, and then Project Afterlife.
That's amazing. I mean, there's so much I could say about all of that. I mean, first of all, you know, with what you were saying, Johnny, about prayer and compassion, for me, they're very interchangeable things. You know, the feeling that goes with prayer and the feeling that goes with compassion, for me, prayer is compassion. You know, I've been raised earlier in my life. I've had an interesting experience because I originally was raised as a very strong Christian in a church background. And then, you know, I've evolved into more of a spiritual experience of, you know, my faith, where it's been about, you know, working with the afterlife. So it's all that industry of mediumship and I guess clairvoyance and all that stuff, which some people struggle with those two things going alongside each other, but you know, I only have my experience. So for me, I use the words prayer and intention. And whenever I have a prayer or intention for myself or others, I do so in a state of compassion, you know. And Jesse, when you're talking about that voice, I get it. I know, you know, I understand that voice. I've heard a voice previously myself in an auditory way, but then I've also heard that voice. And it's not from you. It's not from you. It's from somewhere outside of you. But when it comes, and I could say in my life, I've had, you know, I do a lot of communication backwards and forwards with the non-physical world for clients. But in my own personal life, I've had four or five experiences where this profound voice came through and gave me a very clear message about something about myself and my life in that moment. Wow. And it is indescribable. It's different from, you know, I guess normal intuitive things, or you know, being able to move between the two worlds. It's profound and it's strong, and it's kind of like you don't have a choice. So I was really interested that you said, "No, I'm not." initially, because it's so compelling, so like you can, you know, to say no, but you did. Good on you, Jesse, having a bit of free will there. That was good.
Yeah, I'm a little stubborn.
Yeah, well, that's fine. Stubborn's fine. And then you did have that experience. So that is phenomenal. So from there, the two of you got together, and I think obviously, Johnny, you found some other people as well. And it became really apparent. You'd already found them with your other documentary, Dead Razor. Is that right? So most of the people in that are featured in Project Afterlife. Is that right?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So that you took the content from the documentary Dead Razor and you created this series because it was so compelling that the Discovery Channel obviously thought, we need to share this story to as broad an audience as we can. And obviously this is going worldwide. This is very exciting. Okay. So in your experience of sharing people's stories, creating the documentary, what what would you say the greatest understanding is that you've been able to obtain about the experience of dying and the afterlife and what all that's like for your people that you've shared this journey with?
Sure.
What have you learned about it?
One of the neatest aspects is when we get to hear these accounts and we get to go and, you know, we're not there to judge. We're not there to critique. We're just there to ask questions. I'm not there to prove anything or disprove anything. And a lot of times if it's a straight, you know, journalistic approach or a scientific approach, people don't necessarily have the vocabulary to explain something that they experienced beyond, you know, the natural senses.
Yes.
And so a lot of times in, you know, when we're talking with people, they precede their statements by saying, I'm not really sure how to explain this, but this is how I would say it. And so they use, you know, common words and phrases that help us understand. And I think for me, one of the big themes that I've seen over and over, like we're talking about connecting the dots, right? We're talking with many people who've experienced many different things. And I wish I could say, oh, this is exactly what everyone's going to see or hear, but that's not the case. But there are similarities in a lot of these cases, and there are some pretty significant differences as well. But one of the things that strikes me is that all of these people seem to have lost a fear of death.
Yes.
After they've gone through this. And for me, that's significant because before that happened, they weren't sure what they were going to find. But then after experiencing what they experienced, it's almost like that fear has been released and it's gone. Like they know better about what's going to happen to them.
And let's talk more about that after the break, because that is a profound revelation. So let's talk. Stay tuned. Jesse and Johnny from Project Afterlife.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Hey ladies, do you want to have that good hair day feeling all the time? Gentlemen, would you want your special someone to have that glow, letting you know she is feeling completely satisfied? This feeling and that glow can be yours by embracing your sexual power. So join me, Rachel Kenley, award-winning romance author, on The O-Spot. The O-Spot will guide you to that peak with guest interviews, book discussions, and conversations on the thrills of sexual empowerment. Put the zing back in your life. Come up and see me sometime on The O-Spot, live on Hump Day at 10 p.m. Eastern.
Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community. Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Welcome to the gathering around my kitchen table on Equilarium FM, Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Join my guests as we integrate spirituality into everyday reality with vibrant conversations, inspired interviews, and my latest channeled guidance to inspire and brighten your day. I'm Claire Johnson, and together we'll be raising vibrations across the nations.
Your conscious connection to a more mindful world. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Hi, you're listening to I Am Wisdom here with Katrina Kavanagh, and we're having a really interesting show today where we're talking about a new series on the Discovery Channel. It's got its final episode this week, and it's called Project Afterlife, and it'll be coming back down to Australia later in 2016. So, Johnny, just before the break, we were just talking about the similarities and the differences that people experience when they are in this space that we'll call the afterlife. Again, what's the word for it? That makes a lot of sense to me, because in my experience of, you know, working with so many people who had died or were dying, what they showed me was, yeah, there were some similarities to the some of the experiences that they had, but essentially, you know, whatever their beliefs were would often come through in their experience of death and dying. So, for example, you know, one fellow was a young man who sadly committed suicide, which is the tragedy of that's beyond description, but anyway, as you all know, and so it was a young man that had committed suicide, and the family had brought in this Catholic priest, and he was chanting and praying and calling on Jesus to be of service to this young man's soul and spirit. And so what actually happened for me was, as I was standing, you know, bedside, I felt and saw the presence of Jesus come and be present. You know, he'd been brought into the awareness of the people all around, of the living people, so I guess that's why he showed up. Yet in other people's experiences, I wasn't aware of Jesus's presence, you know, in their experience, which didn't mean he wasn't there. It just meant that their awareness, therefore, you know, what I was being shown wasn't there as well. So it does seem to be driven by people's beliefs, and I'm curious about whether you found the same thing or something different.
Yeah, like my personal beliefs, and first of all, I just want to say everyone on the team kind of has their own structure for kind of what they believe in and their faith, and kind of similar to you, you know, grew up in a Christian household. My parents were actually ministers, and I got to see and hear and experience all of those things. But like for me, I love the teachings of Jesus, and yes, I believe he did everything that's outlined in the Bible. But you know, Jesus wasn't a Christian, and Jesus didn't push Christianity. And what I think has happened is Christianity has taken over what the true message was, and so, you know, faith has been hijacked by religion. And I really want that to end. You know, I want that to. Faith is a necessary component for anyone believing they can do anything. So anyway, that rant over. But getting back to your question. Yeah, we've seen people who are deeply religious have an experience that matched kind of what they thought. And on the same token, we've had people who didn't have a religious bone in their body who had a very vivid experience of the afterlife. So I don't think that, you know, you have to believe a certain thing to experience something. And I found that extremely fascinating, because sometimes it breaks down our walls of understanding and challenges what we want to believe versus what we're hearing.
Yes. So what did you – so Jesse – and Johnny, whoever would like to, you know, speak to this, but what were some of the most amazing discoveries that you found through hearing the stories about what the afterlife is like?
Yeah, some of the things that made the biggest impact on me as people were just describing their experiences and what they had gone through was this idea of free will. You know, we found that as people, they passed away and then crossed over into the afterlife, they seem to maintain the sense of who they were. They seem to bring with them the emotions that they had while they were on Earth, wherever they were living, and they seem to take with them the ability to choose, which is extraordinary. You know, you had mentioned free will earlier and me saying, no, I'm not going to go ahead and do that. We're finding that people are carrying that into the afterlife as well. There's recommendations in a number of cases up to this point. We have people encountering Jesus in the afterlife, and he's saying, you know, I would like you to go back. But it always seems to, in the majority of the cases, it seems to be left up to them to decide. And we've also had experiences of other people who have come up to us and told their story of just, you know, having this sense that the person they were praying to come back didn't want to come back, and it didn't happen. So that's one of the amazing things that I've found. The other that I'd like to briefly talk about is prayer and what prayer looks like. And it's just made it, man, prayer has become so profound for me. I found that I hadn't really understood it at all. But we had the case of Dean Braxton last week, and there's another case coming up in the season finale on Sunday night at 10 o'clock, 9 central, that really brings to light the power of prayer, what it does, that when you pray something, things happen. Mm. It becomes something real. It becomes something strong.
It does.
And we saw in Dean Braxton's case, he saw the prayers shooting past him as he was going towards that light that he had seen in the distance. And it's just incredible to think that as you pray for somebody who's going towards the afterlife, that those prayers are doing something, and there's a God at the other end that's listening to that. And I remember you saying that you've heard that voice as well. And I remember thinking when you were saying that, well, how special does that make us feel that when God will talk to us in that way, and that when we pray, that God's on the other end, and that something happens. You know, prayers go up, and He's listening, and then something happens, and it's just been amazing to uncover.
Mm, and do you think, you know, when you talk about prayer, or, you know, as I call it, intentional prayer, a name is a name, and we're the ones caught up on having to give something a name, really. I think in the non-physical world, no one's really attached to a name, but, you know, whatever we need to do to make sense of it all. So, you know, what I call intentional prayer, everyone else calls prayer, is there an element to it that we need to, is there something we need to know for those of us who are living on the physical plane? You know, is there an element to the experience or the act of prayer that we need to be aware of so that it feels easier? You know, for example, do we pray from a place of compassion for ourselves and others, right, rather than from a place of extreme frustration that things aren't a certain way? Or is there no attachment? There's no judgment to that process.
Well, I don't know for sure.
Yeah,
but
based on your experience.
Yeah, based on my experience, I do think that there is a lot that you could say about the way that we approach prayer, that the way we approach things. I mean, there's a remarkable difference between somebody who is cowering and just kind of whispering something out of the corner of their mouth, not really confident at all that anything's going to happen, and then the other person who's standing up straight with their feet, both feet planted firmly in the ground, and commanding things to happen and just ordering things into existence and just speaking from this, not even a certainty, but a confidence that when they speak, something's going to happen. And we see that. I was just told about the scientific study of ice crystals. Ice crystals, when they spoke negative words over these crystallizations, and they became these grotesque things. Right. But the crystals that they spoke positive things over, they just grew into these extraordinary binges. And
everything. So, and then we're learning all about this. I mean, I know in my own life too, I've been able to, the word is manifest, that's, you know, bandied around a lot these days, but, you know, create experiences and even material things, but certainly shifts and changes in the way I feel about myself and the things that are in my life based on the act of intentional prayer, you know, basically saying, this is what I believe to be true, or what I am wishing for, that, you know, that will be the best thing for me in my life right now. And these things turn up. It's just phenomenal. Even though I doubt, worry all the way along. But anyway, I could talk about, there's so many elements here. So what are some of the more unusual things that you discovered? I mean, when I had did a little background research, I know there was a woman who experienced fairies. And I found that to be extremely intriguing because, you know, fairies is an interesting topic. You know, there are plenty of people, even in the spirituality genre, who wouldn't go so far as to say they believe in fairies. Now, I do believe in fairies. I personally have seen fairies, and I realize how out there that sounds. But I've always believed them. So when I because I've seen them, I've felt them, and worked with the fae, it's just, you know. So when I saw that there was a woman who actually experienced the fae world in her process of dying, of course I was very attracted to that. So can you tell me a little bit more about some of those more unusual, experiences that your people had?
Yep, go ahead, Johnny. That was your case, so why don't you talk about that one?
Oh, sorry. I got lost in there, and they called me back. So can you just ask again?
Yeah, sorry, Johnny. Basically, I was asking about some of the more unique and interesting experiences that some of your people had experienced. One example was there was a lady who'd experienced the Fey World fairies. I noticed it when I did some background research. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes. So Cyan Martin, you're talking about that case. And this was a wonderful case to go explore because I'd never heard anything like this. Mm-hmm. And so she had been a Christian, grown up that way, had a heart condition, kind of became bitter toward the whole experience. It just had a lot of pain. You know, she had to do different things. She didn't get to enjoy her childhood as most children would. And so she kind of turned to something else that would help her. So she turned to what she described as paganism to us and got very interested in fairies and began thinking about them, you know, began concentrating on them. And so before her surgery, which she was very much expecting to die, she'd said all of her goodbyes and that was kind of it for her. Just before that, she saw these fairies around her bedside. But what was more interesting to me was that her mother, who said that she was in kind of a trance-like state in the waiting room, saw the fairies also.
And we're coming up for a break soon, but let's try and get this question answered if we can. If not, we'll hold it over to the break, okay? But was the mother also someone who believed in paganism and was following that faith?
No.
Right. Well, see, that's amazing. You know, it's one thing for a person who has that belief to, of course, naturally be able to experience that form of the other world, but to have someone who's very mainstream, maybe, experience it, that's amazing. So we're coming up for a break. Stay with us for the last part of our show with Jesse Berkey and Johnny Clark talking about Project Afterlife.
Conscious media for conscious minds. Om Times.
Have you bought into the idea that you have to work hard for your money, that business is hard? I will share some dynamic access consciousness tools to get you out of your own way so you can create a business that actually succeeds. Join me, Simone Millicers, on The Joy of Business at 4 p.m. Mondays Eastern.
Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. Om Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single Om Times endeavor. Host your show with Om Times Radio Network. Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at Om Times Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, the advisors participating at advisors.omtimes.com were carefully chosen based on their gifts, skills, and professionalism. Om Times Advisors, connecting you with the best advisors in the business.
If you've ever said, I do want it all. I do want happiness. I do want love. And I do desire the happily ever after fairy tale life, then this show is for you. Join me, Dame Nicole Brandon, for my internationally acclaimed show, Bridal Talk Radio, every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Pacific Time, where I'll bring you the top experts in the fields of communication, money, relationships, finance, pleasure, play, travel, sexuality, parenting, real estate, adventure, comfort, care, passion, and love.
The cutting edge of conscious radio, Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Hi, it's Katrina Kavanagh here, and you're listening to I Am Wisdom here on Om Times Radio. We're in the last part of our show today, and we've been talking to Jesse Berkey and Johnny Clark, who are both involved in an amazing new show airing on the Discovery Channel called Project Afterlife. And we've talked about so many things, and I feel like we haven't really gotten, you know, anywhere near the core of all the issues. But, you know, it's an 8-hour long conversation, really. But we've done our best. We've done our best in 45 minutes. So I've got two final questions that I'd like to ask both of you. If I could begin with you, Jesse. How do you think these experiences have changed the way you live your life? And what also have you noticed in some of your colleagues that were featured in the series? What have you noticed about them and the way that they now live their life as opposed to the way they experienced life before these experiences? What's different?
Yeah. So I think I know that one of the things that I really wanted to do for my patients when I went to work, when I encountered people having their worst days, when I got to a place to where medicine could do no more, I wanted to do more. And so what this has done for me and what the experiences that I've had have done for me in this show has just given me just so much more hope than I used to have. It's given me hope that the last breath doesn't necessarily have to be the last breath, that there's things that we can do that when somebody says it's impossible, that maybe it's not. You know, maybe what we're seeing here, the last heartbeat, maybe it's possible that it doesn't have to be. And so when I'm approaching people, when somebody calls me and wants me to pray for their loved one, or when I approach them, we get a call, I'm coming in with so much more hope than I ever, and it gives me an expectation, and it just inspires me to even go beyond even the place that I used to go to. So I really feel that I'm so much better equipped, to be able to, when I look at the loved one, if there's an undesired outcome, that I'm able to say, you know what, I did everything that I knew how to do. And in my colleagues with Roger and Sam and Johnny, I just see so much more growth in them as far as compassion and love for people go. I see such a desire to learn in them that it's just been sparked. Uncovering these details has just sparked something deep within each one of us to just continue learning and continue opening up our hearts and our minds and embracing the experiences of others and trying to get away from saying, oh, your experience doesn't fit into my box, so I'm going to reject it.
Take
people for what they say and let them tell their stories. And I've just seen them flourish, and we've just all gotten so close, and it's been remarkable.
Well, I really love that too, because I think we get so caught up on the construct of what we believe and how what we believe is okay and what someone else believes isn't. And so much harm can be done in that process, whether it's from between family members or friends or within communities or on a global scale, of course. So for me, that's something I always talk about in my individual work and in my training workshops as well, is that I can only ever give someone what I know based on what I've experienced myself. It is what it is, and I can only know what I know, and I don't know what I don't know. And that's okay. It's okay. Yet people can get so caught up on being right, and that's one of the sad, the challenging parts of this. So Johnny, we were talking about that amazing woman having that fae experience or experience with the fairies, and more importantly, her mother having those experiences just before we went out to the break. And you were beginning to tell me about that. So can you just finish telling me about what the mother had to say about that? I mean, she must have been surprised.
Sure. So the mother went into a trance-like state, and while she was concentrating on her daughter, you know, getting through this surgery, and she told us that she saw fairies by her Cyan's bedside, and she was a devout Christian, and paganism wasn't something that she was practicing or all that fond of. But when I asked her why did you see these fairies? Her answer really was fascinating, because she said, well, I knew that fairies brought Cyan hope.
Okay.
And so I saw them. And so it was almost as if she stepped outside of herself and was able to see these because something in her said, if this is what my daughter finds hopeful, then I will go with her.
And it's beautiful because that's in alignment with my understanding that whatever we rest our awareness of upon is often what we can experience. So if the mum was resting her awareness on the comfort that that fairies would bring to her daughter and stepped away from the construct of her own beliefs and was absolutely present in that, here's that word again, in that compassionate place, then that really opens it up to for her to experience whatever is there and meant to be experienced for her in that moment. So, and it's unencumbered by the construct of her beliefs. It's really beautiful. Okay. Oh, okay, so just to finish up, if I could ask you, Johnny, and Jesse too, you might have something you want to say about this. Where to from here for the both of you, and for you, Johnny, specifically as this filmmaker? What's next? You know, what's next in terms of exploring this very important area of life, I call it, which other people call the afterlife, but it's, for me, it's all one, both moving between the physical and the non-physical world. So what's next?
Sure. Well, being a storyteller, I want to, through my work, I want to make sure that I leave people with the opportunity to think. And I want to leave them with something hopeful to think about. And I want them to walk away knowing that they could experience something if they chose to. So I'm going to continue finding things and subjects. And obviously resurrection is one of those subjects. But yeah, you haven't seen the last. And I think you're going to enjoy some of the things that are coming up.
Fantastic. And what about you, Jesse?
I'd say onward to season two, you know, where we can get even more stories and even more testimonies for people. But for me, it's also, I have a website, jesseburkey.com, and it's about coming alive. It's about being resurrected, maybe not for you physically, but emotionally and spiritually. And I write a blog there. And so it's about speaking, and it's about engaging a community, and it's about initiating dialogue like Johnny and you have talked about, Katrina. And it's just continuing to put that message out there of hope and love and compassion and just stepping up and just inviting people in and just relating to people. And so I love doing that. I love people. And it's continuing as a firefighter paramedic as long as I walk that road, and I love that job. So, yeah, there's plenty of things out there.
Okay. So, Jesse, that's jesseburkey.com.
Yes.
So I'll put the link for that up on my Facebook page, which is facebook.com/ Katrina Kavanaugh, KatrinaCavanou. And the link, though, for anyone who's listening and not able to access their internet right now is Jesse Burkey. So JesseBirkey.com is where they'll find you. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct. Yes.
And Johnny, to find you, DeadRazor, can you tell us where we go to do that?
Sure. Just go to deadrazor.com and you can watch the film. And for a short time, people can watch it for free with the code Project Afterlife. So I would encourage people to do that.
That's fantastic. So if I could say thank you very much, Johnny and Jesse, for being with me here on today's show. Honestly, I could have spoken to you, as I said before, for 8 hours maybe. But, yeah, we all have lives, so we can't do that. But I'm very grateful for you to bring you onto the show and to be able to share your experiences and documentary, because the more people that can know about this, the more awareness there can be, and then people can really consider and be more at peace with their beliefs and their experiences, and that's extremely powerful, extremely powerful. So thank you very much for your time.
Oh, thank you. It's such a pleasure to be here with you and your listeners. What an honor. Thank you.
Okay.
Yes, thank you, Katrina.
Thank you. Okay, thank you. So thank you, everyone, for listening to the show today. It's been what a phenomenal show. I'll put some links up on my Facebook page so you can find Jesse and Johnny. You can find the link to the documentary Dead Razor and Jesse's personal website, because it sounds to me like Jesse has used the inspiration of this experience to really, really propel him forward and create differences for
create differences in other people's lives. And I love his concept of whether it's your whether it is you're resurrecting, you know, your physical, you know, you're not resurrecting yourself from death, but there are so many areas of your life that you can resurrect. You can resurrect a hope. You can resurrect a relationship. And most importantly, you can resurrect the most important relationship of all, which is your relationship with yourself. So I really like his work, and I really like the way he describes it. So I'll be sharing the links for both of those web addresses on my Facebook page. Wherever you are, thank you for listening. It's been a great show. Next week I'm going to be talking to you about toxic or bad relationships. I'll be sharing with you the information I have based on my work as a therapist and coach over the past 22 years, as well as, you know, how those two sides of our life, the mind work and the energy work, can come together to really create the kind of relationships we want both in the present and in the future. So that's the topic of next week's show. So join in. I guess what I would ask you is, if you are finding the content of this show to be helpful to you, if you feel that kind of warmth in your heart and it feels of comfort to you, then I'd ask you to tell one person about this show, just one person, because each person that hears about it is another person who listens, who is another person I can be of service to. Thank you for listening. Have a wonderful week. Take care. God bless. Namaste. Bye-bye.